It's showtime, folks!
Ooh, so this is the thanks I get for working overtime.
Overtime!
Hello, welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. The show is overtime, and we are live right now at 6:02, clocking in here. Another gorgeous day out here in East Tennessee. I'm your host, Tanner Carson, tag-teaming it. Once again, just me and the legend himself, the one and only Cole McCormick, up in the producer's perch. Run the program behind the scenes, all the technical goodness, answering your phone calls on the Fan Run phone lines as well. Another fantastic edition of Overtime planned for you today. I'll be with you up until 8 o'clock here on this Wednesday. Cole McCormick, how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good. Doing good.
You don't like Knoxville traffic, though.
I am not.
You barely got here.
I did.
I will say that. Not of your own fault, though.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on out there today on the roads with everyone. Everybody stay safe. Make it home safe. Make it to work safe, wherever you're going. But let's do it a little faster. I left at my usual time today to come to the station, and it took me about an extra 15 minutes. Don't know what's going on out there, but let's hit the skinny one on the right a little harder. That's all I got to say.
Fair enough.
But be safe. Be safe.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's never a dull day out there on the roads.
Never.
It's absolutely never a dull moment on the interstate and even off the interstate too, man. Something about around rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
It turns into Mad Max out there.
It does.
And I don't know what was it with Millbrook today, man. Millbrook was backed all the way up.
It was pretty backed up just now, yeah.
I didn't see if there was anything that was causing that or what, but yeah, I had to take a little detour to get to the station.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. I made it all right and everything, but it's just one of those days, man. It's even the roads in North Knoxville, man, you have people don't use their turn signals.
Always.
Yeah, people that will just slam on their brakes really quick without hesitation.
Yeah.
It makes for a very, very nerve-wracking drive.
No, I get that. Yeah, I experience the exact same thing every day.
I feel like I need to take a Valium when I'm out there driving.
Sure, sure.
It gets that bad.
Yeah,
it
really
gets that bad. But you made it in here. We are definitely glad that you made it in here, Cole. Continuing a couple days removed from the Rick Barnes / Philip Fulmer press conference, I think the people have calmed down a little bit. My timeline is a lot calmer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are just, you know, they're still getting off their takes, but some of the people that were more agitated, some of the people that were having some very hardcore stances on what Rick Barnes had to say regarding him coming back to Tennessee, regarding the UCLA job. A lot of them, it's just calm down. This seems like something we're going to put to the side here soon. And especially over the summer. As, you know, we got football to focus on next here in the coming months.
Yeah.
But then once basketball starts around, depending on what happens, yeah, then you'll see maybe what he said come right back up again.
Sure.
But for right now, I think most people I've seen, Cole, had the takes of you and me. Don't really have a problem with the honesty.
Mm-hmm.
It's said yesterday, say it again. At least he's not going out there completely blowing smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's not BSing anything. Now, is it rare for a coach to be that straightforward and honest when talking about a lot of things, and especially leaving the current school to take another job? Sure. But you know what? This might be something that might be welcome in other places.
Yeah.
It might become more welcome, though. Even though, certainly, him putting it out there, man, he only just talked a lot about it yesterday, though. I don't want to stay on too much here because I thought we really have put it to rest mostly. But still, yeah, it's just, it's out there now. It's out there, and if things go wrong, it could easily be turned back around.
Yeah.
But I don't think we need to worry about that right now, though. Do you think?
No, I think we've all made our peace. We've all got it off our chest. I think it's time to move on. Move on to the fall, what Coach Pruitt and company have ongoing over there. Move on to the Fighting Voltellos and another win last night.
Got a big midweek win against a pretty scrappy Moorhead State team, but they took care of business.
They did. Softball still rolling, still doing great over there. Great things from the weeklies.
Did they end up run ruling ETSU?
You know, I'm not sure. I wouldn't be surprised. They've done it many times already this season. So there's a lot of good things coming up for Tennessee Athletics. Rick Barnes is here. He's our boy. Let's let him be, and let's move on.
I'll put this to the side over the offseason, surely. The main reason I'm starting off with this once again is it's something we didn't get to yesterday. Now, there are people that had their takes on one side of the fence over Rick Barnes' honesty, over Rick Barnes, and you know how much he really does care about Tennessee and everything moving forward with expectations for the program and everything involved in that. I don't think anybody had a real take like Paul Feinbaum did yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this audio of his stance, and he tweeted this out himself. So he's getting behind this. Paul's putting on the tinfoil hat just a little bit here. He's thinking there might be something going on kind of negatively behind the scenes at Tennessee. Not sure about that, though. We got the audio ready, though, Cole?
Yes.
Okay, this is about a two-minute clip. It's Paul responding to one of his callers on his show yesterday, and or Monday, rather. It was either Monday or Tuesday. I don't know what to think about this here, but listen to it. Judge it for yourself.
Hello, Mike. Welcome to the show.
Hey, Paul. Yeah, just wanted to comment about the Rick Barnes thing. I don't know how the Vol fans are going to feel, but I know if I was a basketball recruit, it would definitely enter my mind that my coach is probably just a buyout away from going to a different coaching job. And when you look at, like, Coach Cal, you know, you hear all these things about him going to the pros or going to some other job. He always shuts that down emphatically, saying Kentucky is the greatest place that I could ever be. Why would I want to go anywhere else? So not to knock Rick Barnes, at least he was honest about the situation, but the total commitment just doesn't seem
to be. Yeah, you know what? I've heard some people say, I mean, listen, give Rick Barnes credit. He was brutally honest. He was honest, but I wonder what and how he really feels about Tennessee now. Something's wrong there, in my opinion. He wouldn't have said that otherwise. I mean, he was basically saying, listen, I was leaving. It's like you're married and you flirt with leaving your wife or husband, and in the end that person doesn't really want you, so you go back, and then you admit, I would have been gone, but we couldn't quite pull this off. I mean, it's a bad statement to make, and I don't know how how it's going to play in Tennessee. I know how it's going to play elsewhere, and it makes it look like he really did want to leave. And if he did want to leave, why did he want to leave?
Well, you pointed that out earlier, you know, when there was all that fluff about him going to accept the Coach of the Year honor, and, you know, nobody from the Tennessee, you know, staff was there. And, you know, there was something there. And you alluded to then there might be something more behind the scenes. So, you know, I guess maybe we'll find out.
Well, I hope so. We already know more than we did. Thanks for the call.
Okay, first and foremost, comparing this to I see a lot of people use the marriage/relationship comparison, Cole. That's dumb, okay? Stop doing that.
Yeah.
It's no different. Compare it to what it is. It's a job and a job offer. It's no different than any other type of career field, mm-hmm. except it's a coaching career field. There's millions of dollars you make every year, and you're definitely in the public eye. That's the only difference. It's an important thing. It ain't a spouse thing.
No, it's not. At all.
I don't get the people bringing that up all the time.
I don't either. I mean, I know I can see why they do it because it is a easy comparison to make because I feel like there is a lot of similarities in that. But at the same time, I just think it's a bad analogy. I mean, one is a commitment to a person. Another one is a commitment to a job. Two very different things.
That's the first thing I wanted to get out of the way. About the content of what Feinbaum said, I mean, Feinbaum's been in this game for a long time. He knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's trying to stir up more the reaction for his show, and I get that. He's in the same type of game as we are. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But he's speaking from even being a UT alum. He's speaking from being way removed from Knoxville.
Yeah.
Removed from what's actually going on here. Man, if something's going, like, wrong, negative behind the scenes, if he's talking like there might be some animosity between Rick Barnes and Philip Former or anybody else involved in the athletic department or the administration, Barnes would have took the job.
Sure, yeah.
Or Barnes certainly would have entertained, like, other offers. Maybe. We all know that Arkansas did make him an offer.
Yeah,
before
he did.
They hired Eric Musselman.
Yeah.
He would have entertained that offer if something was going on so sour behind the scenes.
Yeah.
That he wouldn't have cared to go to a job in the same conference. So that's completely ridiculous. I don't think anything is wrong. I think things are going right when, for once, you have this athletic department pony up the dollars to spend on something that's going to be useful, something that's going to go towards winning more games, getting more attendance, and generating a whole lot of revenue. Yep. Not used to universities spending money on things like that that really, really benefit athletics directly.
Mm-hmm.
We're used to John Curry wanting to propose the however many – how much were the original Neyland renovations?
Oh, gosh. It was a lot.
Several hundred million, obviously. I'm forgetting the exact number. God, it might have been close to half a billion, honestly.
It was. It was a lot. Let me see if I can find it.
See if you can find the exact number. We're used to people doing that to make things look okay on the surface, but really, I haven't been spending money on coaches. Haven't been spending money on very rarely direct facility upgrades. And now you're finally ponying up the big bucks. And we said it yesterday, too. The $4.7 million that Rick Barnes is making per year, it's not because he's as good of a coach as Coach K or as decorated as John Calipari, the two coaches that are making more than him. And especially, that doesn't mean he's as decorated as some of the multi-time national championship winning coaches that he's already making more money than.
Mm-hmm.
It means it's the market value that you had to pay to hold on to stability and to hold on to this good, consistent program that you have right now.
Yeah,
I think things are going well if you're able to pony up money like that.
I agree.
I mean, at the end of the day, Cole, we still have Rick Barnes as our head coach.
That's all that matters to me. That's all that matters.
Paul can take off his hat. He can stop pretending to be Alex Jones. I think things are okay. Right?
Yeah, I think so too.
Like I don't know how this whole situation has been a overall negative.
Yeah. I don't know, man. We talked about it yesterday. Should Barnes have said what he said yesterday? From a PR standpoint, no. I do enjoy the honesty. I appreciate it. It's refreshing. But at the same time, like you said, he's still our coach. He's still our boy. He's going to be coaching our boys next year, probably for the foreseeable future. So let's move on.
Here's one more thing to appreciate about the honesty standpoint of Barnes, though. We know what the situation is now. We absolutely know what the situation. If he wants to come off as more of like a paid mercenary, like he's the Punisher or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, just pay me. I'm gonna take care of business right here. Okay, then so be it. We know he's not some saint figure who's going to. I'm losing the whole reference here, but he's nothing more than just a guy getting paid to do his job.
Yeah,
and I mean at least we're on. Understanding ground right here when it comes to coach and fan base relationship.
Sure.
At the very least. Could get toxic if things don't go right, but it's not yet.
Yeah.
Did you find the number?
I did. Let's see. Curry's letter suggested that the two-phase $340 million project has been targeted for substantial completion by 2021, and the first phase is projected to cost $180
million. $340 million.
Yeah.
Well, that's on hold.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Neyland does need renovations. I agree because it's rotting over there. I love it.
It is.
I love it, but it's rotting. But at the same time, that's not the most important issue we have going on.
You fix the team that plays inside the building first, please.
They start winning, the money will come. You don't have to beg for it.
Think of all the outside renovations they did to that stadium, like right in the middle of the early Dooley years.
When
they updated everything, Gate 21, Tennessee Terrace, all that. Well, did that help the team playing inside the building? No.
No, it did not.
It didn't. I mean, it's certainly nice. It certainly helps, and it helps overall in recruiting. But, yeah, putting a winning team out there is going to help the most.
Exactly.
So I'm glad at least we have an athletic director that's going to pony up the resources. to directly affect wins, first and foremost.
Yeah, I am too.
At the very least, I'm so thankful for that. So we can at least be paused and be happy over that, right?
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, you have to be. If you, I mean, yeah, if anybody knows what they're talking about when it comes to this issue, yeah, this is the way to do it.
865-546-8200, 546-8200. Open up the Fan Run phone lines here. You want to hop on with us on this Wednesday. Hit the first break of overtime. Be back with more on the other side. You are listening to Fan Run Radio. Back on overtime, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Woo! As the Bayou continues to, I used to say burn. Pretty good news for them today. Great news for a bunch of LSU fans especially.
Sure.
The news moving very quick today. It was first rumored and reported that athletic director Joe Oliva was going to be stepping down as athletic director. Not getting fired or anything. He was just going to be kind of resigning his post right there. While still working for the university, he's going to have some type of new administrative role. So he's not going from LSU, but certainly stepping down from athletic director position. This following on the heels of Will Wade's suspension 2 months ago and his recent reinstatement on Sunday. LSU fans to say they were not pleased with Joe Oliva's initial decision to suspend Wade would be an understatement. They at the very next game, they had the pitchforks out, they had the signs out. Man, those the corn dogs down there, man, they were ready for blood.
They were.
They were out for blood down there. They were foaming at the mouth, speaking like Farmer Fran.
Oh, probably. Okay. There you go.
Just wanting him to get out of there. Well, it looks like they got their wish today. Kind of thought it would not last that long after Wade was reinstated.
Yeah, somebody was making a move.
Oliva kind of walking back his initial stance here. And no surprise, there's apparently a lot of pushback to get him to step down in the first place from boosters.
Mm-hmm.
And a whole lot of other bigwig people associated with LSU. So no shocker today. What was kind of surprising was how quickly they moved to getting their new dude. Now, it's not been officially announced yet, but this was news that broke less than an hour ago. This was tweeted out from Billy Lou. Man, I don't even know how to say this name. I'm just going to say Lucci or Lucci. Lucci or Lucci.
Okay.
L-I-U-C-C-I.
Okay.
Some Italian name.
Yeah.
He's the executive editor and co-owner of TexAgs.com, very connected with Texas A&M. He tweeted out the news, per multiple sources, Texas A&M athletic director Scott Woodward has signed on to become LSU's next AD. The Baton Rouge native is heading home.
Woo! Good for him.
LSU making big moves, hiring a AD from within the conference, and especially someone who is a native Baton Rouge.
Yeah, and also, I mean, this, I don't know if this is correct, but you go back to the LSU-Texas A&M game this last year, that was, what, three, or no, it was like seven overtimes?
Seven overtimes.
Something like that.
74 to 72.
Yeah, and then, you know, all of the drama that followed with Jimbo Fisher's nephew, I believe, and a LSU staffer. Apparently the SEC has been wanting those two to become rivals ever since A&M has entered the league, especially the West Division. And now something else like this happens. The A&M AD goes to LSU the same day the LSU AD steps down. We could see a very, very bitter rivalry starting right here, especially if he has a lot of success in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, man. Like, look at his recent track record here. If just a few years ago, you hired Jimbo Fisher with that massive contract luring him away from Tallahassee.
Yeah.
And then just recently, you make one of the best hires of the coaching carousel in the offseason for college basketball. You get Buzz Williams away from Virginia Tech. So he's not really he's not leaving College Station with a bare cupboard. He's definitely not.
No.
Did a lot of good things for the Aggies, now going over to LSU, where I guarantee you the first thing that he's going to do to win fans over immediately, he's going to fight like hell to keep Will Wade.
Sure.
I don't know how much he can do because, you know, if the government wants him to testify, if he's going to be forced to say what he knows,
yeah,
then there's not much he can do about that.
Mm-mm.
But he's going to try real hard to keep Will Wade.
I would think so. I would hope he would. Don't know how successful he will be. But that would be a very, very good start for him in Baton Rouge.
And look what he did here, too. He was only at Texas A&M since January 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And all the moves he made that quickly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a very fast riser. He was at Washington right before that. And going over to LSU now. So, a good day for LSU Tiger fans. I haven't had a lot of those recently here.
Sure, yeah.
Man, how hard do you think this dude's going to immediately try to fight the NCAA? Because I think this dude, I mean, he made those big hires at A&M, man.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Baton Rouge native. He's coming from the state of Texas, too. Man, he's going to come out swinging.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
He may wear a damn 10-gallon hat to his introductory presser. Who knows?
That would be a power move.
So that's news coming on about LSU here. And LSU has a statement about Joe Oliva. In their words, transitioning away from the athletic director role. He's going to have a new role as, oh my God, this sounds like one of the lamest jobs possible.
Oh no.
Cole, he's going to be a special assistant to the president for donor relations.
Hmm. Well, good. Good for him.
I wonder what salary comes with that.
I'm sure a very handsome
it's more,
one.
I bet it's more than it's worth.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt.
LSU said, we are grateful to Joe for his years of service and dedication at LSU. That was from LSU President F. King Alexander. Remember when I called him F. Scott Fitzgerald one
yeah.
time?
Yeah.
The F at the beginning of the name, it kind of throws me off a little bit.
Sure.
He continued by saying, under his leadership, LSU athletics has become even more nationally competitive, and our student athletes have reached new levels of academic achievement. The 11 years, he's talking about, this is Joe Oliva's statement himself. The 11 years Andy and I have been here in Baton Rouge have been some of the best in our lives. We have made lifelong friends and memories here in Louisiana. This is truly a special place. It's been an honor to serve LSU, and I'm proud to continue to do that in a new role. AKA, okay, please stop sending me death threats, you crazy swamp creatures.
Degenerates.
I'm done, okay?
You know, college athletics, man, and everything about it never ceases to amaze me. I don't know, and I'm sure there is. I'm sure I'm wrong about this, but I can't think of another profession or area of work where you step down from a job, pretty much get fired, and then the same company puts you at another spot, even though you just failed at a different one for them. I've never understood that.
It's a different world.
It really is. It's a different world.
I'd like to be in that type of industry.
I would too, because even though you know you step down, okay, it's kind of embarrassing. You still get another job. You're still getting paid very, very well. I just don't get it, man.
What would that be like? The comparison here, it'd be like. Like, I know he'd never do this. He's a consummate pro, but he's the first one I'm thinking of. Like, Russell on the show before us on the drive, Russell dropping, like, multiple F-bombs during the show or something.
Yeah.
Has to get kicked off the drive, but Nate keeps him on here to do what? Like, run the Periscope or something?
I mean, yeah. Or, you know, if somebody from another show has to leave, just stick him right in. Doing similar things, but not really. Make up a title for him, because that title for Oliva is made up.
Special assistant to the president for donor relations.
That is not a job. That is not a job.
What the hell does he do? Does he get him coffee? Does he print off paperwork for him?
He's like, Butch Jones with an office.
Oh.
There it is.
Oh, you hear that, Joe? You're Butch. Buzz! You're the LSU office version of Butch Jones. How does it feel? How does it feel, Joseph?
Probably good. He's got a fat paycheck
probably
still
getting a lot of money still. Going back quick to LSU, though, the way things have been going for him recently, crazier things with the NCAA have happened. I know that more than the NCAA is on this case right here when it relates to the college basketball recruitment scandal.
Mm-hmm.
But, man, I think Will Wade's going to maybe survive this.
You know,
I've definitely seen crazier things happen.
Sure.
He may just go up there and plead the fifth.
I mean, yeah, if I think that is his only way of winning or at least keeping his job. And if he does that, I think it's good enough.
They got some momentum going down there, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But that trial's slated to begin just 5 days, though. Mm-hmm. I think if we have any, like, serious updates, well, I think we should do when we give updates during the show, probably come into, like, I would say People's Court music, but I think the Drive has that, too, for the docket.
Yeah.
What's another, like, court show music? Maybe, like, Judge Judy.
Judge Judy?
Something like that.
Sure.
Maybe we go back to our childhood, get Judge Trudy.
From
the Amanda Show.
Why not? Love Judge
Trudy. And it's all over. We can bring in the Dancing Lobsters.
I'm in. I am here for that.
865-546-8200. 546-8200. Catch another break here on Overtime. Be back with more of the show right after this.
In the bag, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match.
ESPN. I love the off-season stats and predictions that they give all the time, man. Especially including the football power index.
Yeah,
you love some analytics, Cole.
I love the FPI. Big fan.
We got the return of the college football playoff predictor.
Ooh.
Giving out the odds to make the playoff this upcoming season. And also, giving out the odds to win the whole daggum thing. Would you like me to start from the very top?
Please.
Okay. Clemson. Duh.
Of course.
Defending national champions. 83% chance to make the playoff. They also, of course, have the highest chance to win the national title. The FPI is giving them 36% chance to win the national title.
Okay.
Who do you want to guess is in second?
Alabama.
How'd you guess?
It's just a hunch.
Ah, yeah. Well, you're right.
I mean, we are professionals here.
That's true. 71% chance to make the playoff, 27% chance to win the national title.
Okay. Not a shock.
You want to guess third? I want to see if you can guess his top five. Guess third place.
Third place. Georgia.
Wrong.
Ohio State.
Wrong.
Oklahoma.
Wrong.
Notre Dame.
Wrong.
What conference? Give me a hint.
Big Ten.
Michigan?
Yes.
Okay.
41% chance to make the playoff, 7% really? Chance to win national title. Interestingly enough, guess your fourth place. It's a team you already said.
Georgia.
It is Georgia.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, so Georgia's got a 40% chance to make the playoff, just one percentage point less. However, to win the national title, they have an 8% chance, one percentage point higher than Michigan's chance to win the national title. So that's kind of interesting right there. So pretty much analytically, it looks like Michigan, Georgia's kind of a toss-up.
Okay.
And to round out the top five, one more guess.
Ohio State.
No.
Oklahoma.
Yes.
Okay.
35% and 5%.
Okay.
And I'll give you these other teams that have like more than a 1% chance to win the national title. LSU has a 6% chance. Bless you, Cole.
Thank you.
Notre Dame has a 4% chance to win national title. Every other team that has a chance to make the playoff just has a 1% or a minus 1% chance.
Minus 1%? Why is that a thing?
Well, it means they got more than zero, but less than one.
Well, okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Your Tennessee Volunteers are on here, though.
Ooh! Are we making the Natty run?
Playoff predictor says we have a 2% chance to make the playoff.
Let's go!
So, hey, if you want to get really, you know, if you want to get really into it, though, so 2%, you know, away from 100 is 98% chance you don't make it. Does it? I don't think it feels like 98. This doesn't feel like 98 this time.
No, it really doesn't.
2% chance. Hell yeah. Tennessee, at the list that ESPN has here, you got a better chance to make the playoff than Utah and UCLA.
Let's go.
Take that, Chip Kelly.
Let's go.
Take that, Kyle Whittingham.
Let's go. I'm here for it. I am here for it.
But also a minus 1% chance to win the national title. It's okay.
It's all right.
Tell me there's a chance.
Yeah. So you're telling me there's a chance.
This is really dumb right here, though, because the team directly behind Tennessee, they're not even eligible. It's Missouri.
Oh, Lord.
Why is Missouri on here?
Because they have Kelly Bryant.
But they have a 0% chance to make either because they're kind of banned from the postseason.
Content, man. Content.
Yeah, I don't even – did they forget that? Did they just conveniently forget that?
I don't know.
They're not even going to be in the postseason, so they quite literally have a 0% chance.
Yeah.
I doubt any appeal they're going to try and make is going to be overturned before the season.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I really do doubt that here. Other teams with notable chances here, you got Mississippi State also has a 2% chance to make the playoff. Texas A&M and Washington have a 4% chance. Michigan State, 5%. Ohio State under new head coach Ryan Day, 6% chance. And old Gus Malzahn's always lurking around somewhere. Always. Auburn's got a 7% chance. Penn State, 8%. Florida has a 10% chance.
Ooh. That makes me sick.
Damn, Mullen. And the one team I have yet to mention with a 14% chance to make the playoff, the Oregon Ducks.
Okay, wow. Oregon.
Yeah.
Okay. I wouldn't hate that. Yeah. I actually kind of like it. I would love for that
to
happen.
Would you like to see a Ducks back?
I would like to see anybody but Alabama and Clemson win a national title this year. Yes, I would love to see that. Or Florida or Georgia.
I was about to say, it's like, no, there's some other teams you're forgetting.
Or Florida or Georgia. Or anybody in the SEC that isn't Tennessee. But, yeah, I wouldn't hate Oregon to win it. Be refreshing.
If you go by conferences here, of your Power 5, SEC, no surprise, leads the chance to put at least one team in the playoff with a 98% chance. I mean, we've got Alabama and Georgia in two different divisions. I mean, kind of likely.
Yeah.
Kind of likely. You also have other good contenders in LSU, Auburn, Florida. Pretty good chance. ACC has an 84% chance just because Clemson has a high chance. Big Ten, 58%. Big 12, 36%. And the poor Pac-12, just a 21% chance. How's the Pac-12 garbage and everything so quickly?
I don't know. I mean, they're apparently the Conference of Champions is what they call themselves. Maybe back in the day, sure. What have you done for me lately?
Not much.
Nothing.
They were a three-bid team in the NCAA tournament for basketball.
They did win the College World Series last year with the Beavs because Arkansas gave it to them. Thank you, Razorbacks.
Woo.
But
yay.
I mean, I feel that's about it. They're lucky to have Stanford in the fact that they win that Capital One Cup every year.
That's true.
If they didn't have Stanford, where would they be?
Yeah, thank God Stanford's so good at, like, outdoor track and field and, like, water polo.
And they have about 100 made-up sports that nobody else
Beach
has.
Beach volleyball.
Yeah, and that's why they win.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Gotta get that cup somehow, man. You like some of these most likely playoff combinations, though. This is also used in FPI. How do you like some of these? I will tell you that Alabama and Clemson, of the 10 possible scenarios they have, are in every one of them.
I'm shocked.
So not good for you. Let's run through some of these. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and Michigan. Ugh.
Ugh.
Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, Oklahoma. We just know Oklahoma's going to lose the semifinal.
Well, I mean, maybe. I mean, they have a QB that's been there and done that.
Alabama, Clemson, LSU, and Michigan.
Okay.
Give me Coach O in a playoff.
Please.
You want a nightmare right here. Alabama, Clemson, Michigan, and Notre Dame.
Let's keep Notre Dame out.
Give me, please.
They proved that they can't do anything in the postseason.
Yeah.
How about this? Join a conference. How about that?
If they go to Athens and beat Georgia, though.
I mean, yeah, they'll have a strong case. They would.
Yeah, it won't be let go unless they lose one of those crappy teams they play. One of the crappy ACC teams they'll play during the season.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Alabama, Clemson, LSU, Notre Dame. They also have percentage chances. Yeah, the highest percentage chance is Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Michigan, with just a 5% chance.
Okay.
So a lot of these aren't, like, statistically likely to happen. You're likely to get some random team like Oregon in here or something like that.
Yeah.
Or some Power 5 team that comes out of nowhere in like the Big 12. Let's just say Tom Herman and Texas finally get together this year.
Sure, yeah.
Damn it, I hate to see Texas in the playoff.
Really?
Yes! I do not like Texas.
Guys. Really? I never knew this. I never knew this.
I don't. They're the fake UT. That's true. They entirely have us to be grateful for, that they're not a part of Mexico right now. Do I have to give you a whole history lesson?
No, those are some good points. Would you rather see them win a natty, or would you rather see an SEC foe win a natty?
Oh, Texas.
Okay.
No, I'd put it aside and root for Texas. Hell, I'd root for Texas against Georgia.
Same.
I can't root for Georgia in anything. No, I ain't going to root for Alabama.
No.
Give me a break.
No, over my dead, cold corpse.
Yeah, they're the certain SEC teams I wouldn't mind winning the national championship. I wouldn't mind LSU.
Yeah.
Honestly, but even though I hate them a little bit more this year because of basketball, I wouldn't lose sleep over another Auburn national championship.
Yeah.
That's A&M. I mean, if Jimbo can get them there. That's about it.
I mean, there's really only, I would say, seven. Well,
I will
seven
say
seven SEC teams. I'm gonna say this. I would not like to.
Any team I wouldn't mind seeing win it. They're not in the East. I don't want a team in our division winning it.
I'm with you. Everybody in the East, besides Tennessee, of course, and Alabama. The other seven, sure.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty much.
Yeah, I guess so.
The entire West, except for Alabama and us.
Sure.
I would not lose sleep.
Now, some of your more old-school guys who remember when we had the yearly rivalry with Auburn are like, hell no, I don't want to see Auburn win it either.
Yeah, some people still really hate Ole Miss, which I...
Ole Miss has never gave me a reason to hate them.
No, I mean, they've always hated Tennessee. They're fans.
I mean, we did take Peyton from them.
We did. So. You're welcome.
I mean, out of Archie, Eli, and Peyton, I mean, we got the best of the three.
We did.
They got the other two.
Yeah, Fulmer and Cut know what they're doing. But yeah, if any of that happened, I would not lose sleep.
Never had a reason to hate A&M, even though that 2016 game still sucks.
Yeah.
I want to hate LSU sometimes, but I feel like we have too much in common from a fan base perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so.
Alabama's both been our nightmare in football.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like Arkansas. I mean, Arkansas's not going to get there anyway, so.
Yeah, Mississippi State, yeah.
I'm not giving those two a thought.
No, I'm not either.
That's basically it. As long as some team from the East doesn't win it.
Yeah. That's where I stand.
I think that's a fair enough standpoint there.
I mean, I don't get the whole SEC loyalty when it comes to that kind of stuff.
No.
I mean, if you're an old-timer, if you want to do that, fine. But me, no. I'm not doing that.
That was the lamest thing Bruce Pearl did this postseason, was after Auburn won the Elite Eight against Kentucky. He's up there at the podium celebrating with the team and the fans that are still there. It's like, hey! And he's like, we just had a great game against Kentucky, another SEC foe, all the way to the Final Four. One time, I won a big SEC. Eyes rolled 180 degrees.
Yeah.
Back of my head.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
So lame. I've never been a fan of that.
I mean, I get it if an SEC team beats a team not in the SEC.
I would still not do it.
I've never really done it myself.
But if
you're doing the SEC chant when it's two teams from the SEC, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
There's not any dominance.
It really doesn't.
Like, if you're beating a Big 12 team, a Big 10 team, ACC team, I understand it. But you're beating, you know, somebody in your conference that you play regularly during the regular season. It's nothing new.
Chant should have been left in 2007.
Yeah, I think you
should have
right.
Just left all the way back there. Yeah. Hit another quick break here, 865-546-8200-546-8200. Back with one more segment and hour number one of Overtime coming up. Final segment of the first hour of Overtime on this Wednesday here, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. Cole, a little bit of a amazing breaking news here. You don't have to go to the desk.
Okay.
You're going to love this, though. And if you have a soul, you should love this, but especially if you're an East Tennessean.
Oh, give it to
me. You're going to love this. A certain person has been tapped for helping with the NFL Network's coverage of the draft next week in Nashville.
Oh, no.
Queen Dolly
Parton. Oh, yes! Big fan of that. Big fan.
Dolly Parton has been asked to do the voiceover for the intro for the NFL draft. It's part of the network's Star is Born theme that links Nashville in the NFL draft. This is according to the Tennessee Titans themselves.
Okay.
Let's see. We had this NFL Network Vice President Charlie Uke said today in a statement, because somewhere there's a kid, no matter what school he went to, whether it's Alabama or Alabama State, working out where no one can see him, or sometimes they do see him trying to be a star. And they're going to come to Nashville with all the same goals any musician has on Broadway. It was the perfect theme set up for us, and it's the perfect way we're going to open our draft. We have a pretty cool open idea for that concept. A Star is Born, voiced over by none other than Dolly Parton.
I like it.
The voiceover was done just 2 days ago, so it's already completed.
Quick
work. It's ready to go.
Dolly don't play around.
Oh.
She don't waste no time. She's working 9 to 5. Know what I mean?
She is.
Know what I mean?
She is working 9 to 5. She'll be working a little bit later than 5, though.
She will be.
That draft's going to kick off late on Thursday night. God, that's going to be such a scene down there.
Are you going?
I am going.
Are you? Oh, man.
I'm going. Right now, I don't know if I'm going to be there on night one, but I'm definitely going to be there for one of the other 2 days.
Okay. Yeah.
Night one may be a little too overall hectic for me to try to get
into that.
Oh, of
course. Of course. Oh,
but
yes.
Because it's going to be everywhere. It's going to be everywhere. But I think the, unless I'm completely misread everything, the main stage where the draft picks are going to come up on, it's going to be on Broadway.
Yeah.
It's going to be right in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
I just...
That is going to be a scene.
You're never going to see anything like this again.
Mm-mm. I mean, Broadway is crazy and hectic as it is, but having...
Oh, you're telling me.
But having the NFL draft on Broadway, are you kidding me? It's going to be nuts.
They're going to do it.
I'm here for it.
They're going to do it.
I'm here for it.
You think Nashville's a tourist trap already?
Ha! Yeah.
Apparently, and this is speaking to my girlfriend, actually, who's usually goes into Nashville.
Sure.
And is familiar with the events around there. When the Preds, I think this is when they were going to, I think this was 2 years ago, the run to the Stanley Cup Final. They had playoff games going on at the same time CMA Fest was down there.
Really?
And apparently, she said, if that can happen, you know, at the same time, Nashville can handle.
Of course.
The NFL draft.
Yeah, I agree.
And something else you need to think of. The Preds are still in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a good point.
The draft is going to be 3 days. Oh,
my goodness.
A Preds playoff game at Bridgestone? The same time the draft is going on?
Nashville might implode.
I tell you what, it's going to be a good weekend to be, though. An Uber driver, a Lyft driver.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
An owner of any bar within like an immediate 5 to 10 mile radius. Yes.
This is Black Friday for them.
It's going to be a fantastic weekend for you.
Yeah. This is the weekend of the year for them.
So
yes.
So you're not going to go?
I don't think I'm going to make it over. I don't think I am. I would love to go. I don't think I'm going to make it, though.
Ah.
I would love to see it. Take a lot of pictures for me. Tag me in some Snapchats. Send me some Snapchats.
I don't know what I'm going to do there, other than enjoy myself, obviously.
I was about to say, hopefully have a great time.
That's what I'm planning on doing, but I might get a little claustrophobic with all those people.
Yeah.
And I'm not somebody who gets anxious around crowds, but I'm somebody who can get irritated very easily.
I'm with you on that.
With large crowds.
Yeah.
Because there's no way I'm going to get like close to the stage, I don't think, unless, I mean, obviously, you know how long the draft takes.
Forever.
Hours and hours. Few people are going to be in like the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
So maybe I can get a little closer.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe so.
I'm just here for who the Raiders pick.
What pick do they have?
They got 3 picks.
That's right. First round, yeah.
They got the fourth overall pick, and they also have a 24 and 27.
Okay,
let me double check on that here.
Who do you think they're taking first? What's the lane?
If he's available with the first pick, you get Quinnen Williams of Alabama.
Yeah,
you get that absolute freak.
Yeah,
and if you don't, and he's available,
yeah. I agree.
Going to be slightly ticked off. No, you need to focus on defense first if you're Oakland.
Sure.
Get Quinnen Williams, man.
You need a big man. You need a dominant big man up front.
He's also big, but he's also very athletic, and he's a quarterback headhunter.
Yeah. Yeah, he is.
We saw it at Alabama. ESPN and whoever was CBS, they all did those features on just how much of a physical freak Quinnen Williams is. So
Very special.
I would definitely love to see that man in silver and black. If I had my way, I'd get Joey Bosa, but there's no way the 49ers are going to pass up on him at two.
No, he's gone.
It's going to be a crazy time, man. I can't believe it's actually happening. Hour number two of overtime on the way after this. Stick with us right here. You're listening to Fan Run Radio.
With your cupcakes. It's a little secret just around the